Okay, on your handouts here, before we get rolling, I want to draw your attention to the very front page. I have some links there for you, reading plan links. These are various websites you can go to which have a smorgasbord of reading plan options, lots of different options. So ESV.org has a set of plans, Ligonier has a set of plans, also that next address. That is to, then there's an iPad, iPhone app called Reading Plan, and that allows you to, you pick a plan, you link it to whatever version you have on your iPhone, and as you go through, it'll check off what you've read. And that way you can keep track of what you're doing. So there are lots of different options that you can choose from. And maybe you'll like one and tweak it a little. The top three websites there, they will link you to a lot of PDFs. So you could print it off and fold it and put it in your Bible and check them off with pencil or pen. And so I just want to provide lots of different avenues for the strategy that you'll have as you seek to regularly and consistently and fruitfully spend time in God's Word. So that's our focus at this point, answering the third question of as we go through, of, and that is, how can we be effective or fruitful as we devote ourselves to these patterns? And the pattern we're looking at, is, of course, is the regular intake of God's Word. Last week we looked at devising and using a plan, that is a calendar, a time, setting aside, scheduling time in God's Word. And then we looked at reading and meditating, what kind of plan do you have to go through Scripture. It's not like the Christian equivalent of the horoscope. Does God have a promise for me today? And it's a genealogy. I guess not. Or maybe it's a psalm, and you go, well, here's the psalm for me, and God has something to say to me. It's nearly as bad as reading the horoscope. There's not a real trust in how God works. There's not really taking Him at His word and the necessity for Bible intake. Reading the Bible is better than reading the horoscopes, okay? Merely an illustration. Lest someone partially quote me. So, reading plans and reading with purpose. And then in your handouts last week, there are some things I put in there that you might want to tuck in your Bible, that to have before you to think on fruitfully engaging in God's Word. So, we looked at the foundational thing. Why do we go to God's Word? To know God, to be transformed by Him. The purpose is spiritual transformation. And so that shapes our attitude as we open the Word. It shapes our expectations. It shapes the way we pray. It shapes the way we read. What is happening here? Why am I reading this morning? And then I had some questions there for understanding what God is saying, some basic questions in the text, and then responding to what God is saying. Were there any particular questions about that material that we looked at last week? Yes, John.
Perhaps the determination of structuring.
As far as the reading plan, like how do you come up with what you come up?
Yeah
good question. I'm going to get a little in this lesson. I'm going to talk about study, but you notice I've broken it down to read, meditate, memorize. We didn't get to memorize yet, and study. And so I've talked a little, but I think it's important to distinguish between what might be a survey reading of Scripture. I want to read through the Bible in a year. And your goal is more of a survey. I'm going to read chapters, just getting the big picture, kind of what's God doing. That is beneficial. It's spiritually edifying. But the goal is a little different than what I think the goal should be for what we might call a devotional time or a time of fellowship with the Lord, where you're spending the bulk of the time not so much reading the text as reflecting on the truth you've read. So when you're looking at a reading plan, You might have two different things going in your life. You might have a reading plan and a devotional plan. So I think it's important to distinguish that. Your devotional plan, it might be, what's the goal? Spiritual transformation to know God. Okay, that's what you're shooting for. So the purpose is to reflect on Scripture and have God's truth penetrate your heart. So if you were, say, to select Ezekiel as your reading plan for morning devotions, the first half of the book may be engaging, but then the next 12 chapters in Ezekiel is dimensions of a temple. Now, if week after week, for 10 days straight, you're reading the dimensions and the architectural plans of this futuristic temple concept, that's not going to do much for your soul. It is God's word, and it does have a place. There's meaning and significance there, but it's not very enriching. Okay, so I think we need to be realistic about what Scripture is doing. If you're going through Genesis, and the chapter you hit is a genealogy, you might read through, and there might be something that comes out at you from God's word that's interesting, engaging, and reminds you of His faithfulness, or of His goodness, or of His wisdom, or His power. But you might read through a genealogy list and go, it's not doing much for your soul. In which case, you might read a psalm, or there might be a favorite passage in the Gospels you'll read. Because you just want your soul to be enriched. So when you're thinking about a plan, the goal is obviously to hear the spread of God's word. The goal is to be enriched from God's word. And the goal is meditating on the word and fellowshipping, not getting through the Bible in a year. Okay? Good goal, but that's different, I think, than fellowshipping with God in the morning. So some suggestions. I think for the kind of reading that we do to cultivate meditation and that fellowship with the Lord, it's a kind of reading that is slower, that takes less text, that is sequential through a book, so you're building on, you're getting a sense of the flow of the book. It's another really good point I had too, but it's escaped me. You might do a thematic plan from time to time, but in my personal experience and my engagement with other people is thematic plans, if you have a thematic plan, I'm going to read, I'm going to look in the back of my concordance and read the passages that the concordance recommends for the nature of God. I think that's helpful, but in my experience, and my experience with other people, is you're more inclined to get slack with a thematic reading plan than you are with a sequential reading plan through the Scriptures. So that's my personal recommendation. And then you might want to do extra reading, maybe devotional time in the morning, half an hour at night, you're just going to plow through Scripture. The Bible in a month. Bible in a year. Bible in a month. That's power. That's cranking. You got to be retired to do that. So the reading plans will often have a New Testament, Old Testament, chapter. If you have 20 minutes in the morning or half an hour, okay, and you have two long chapters, maybe it's a chapter in Luke and a chapter in Genesis, you're going to spend a chunk of your time reading Scripture. Is that good? It's great to read Scripture. But you want to think about, okay, I've got this much time. How do I make the most of this much time and it be the most spiritually enriching? Okay? So again, pick your reading plan. But don't be enslaved to the reading plan. The goal is to know God and fellowship with Him. So you might want to think, I'm going to get a reading plan for me. This is just for me. My reading plan is no more than a chapter. I rarely read more than a chapter in the morning, sometimes half a chapter. Because I want my time to be thinking about that brief passage of Scripture, reflecting on that passage of Scripture. So some reading plans have an Old Testament, New Testament. Okay, that could be good. Could be helpful. You might quickly read one and more slowly read the other. We all know what survey reading is. Chapter done. Go to the other chapter, read slower. Okay? I mean, so there are ways that you can use your schedule, your reading plan, but you're keeping the main point the main point. Okay, so I'm hoping that's helpful. Any questions on that? Yes, Marsha.
Do you have family devotional time then, or you have your personal?
No, you're getting a bit personal there now. The goal is to do that. Yes, we do, sometimes. In fact, this is a personal testimony. Remember I said it's good to write down the date and the passage, and you can kind of have a track record. Well, after last week's lesson, Aaron and I were talking, we need to be better at family devotions. Yes. So I got out the Bible last week, and I was sure it was lying. I could not believe it was that long since we had spent time reading the scripture in that focused way as a family. I couldn't believe it. It was a setup. Yes, we try to do that. And varying degrees of difficulty with where the kids are, at what age they're at, and how that works. Sometimes we've just read scripture, sometimes we've read a devotional book. We've kind of gone backwards and forwards.
More important to have personal.
I think the question is, does it count?
Oh, does it
count? For personal, can you use it?
Is that the question?
No.
Interesting way of thinking, Mr. Gatchell. I don't think so. Testimony time for me. Is it beneficial? Yes. We're reading the Word. We're interacting with children. They're going to ask different questions that prompt me to think differently about the text. It is edifying. We spend time in prayer. Sometimes I just pray. Sometimes we all pray. We're looking at the clock. Sometimes I have to be out the door and, you know, who knows what. So yes, it is spiritually beneficial. Different than what I would do privately, alone, with the Lord, with the text, extended length of meditation and prayer. It's one is better than nothing, but with anything in life, you only get out what you put in, and I think that's. The more time you spend quietly wanting to engage with the Lord, the more His Spirit does in your heart, I think is how I'd kind of summarize that. Good discussion. Anything else? Any other personal questions you have for me? I'm just checking.
There's a comment on the survey reading. Somebody I read recently brought up one of the benefits of that. We think of it in terms of getting big picture themes and understanding that. And that's true too. One of the other things it does reminds us of little details. So stories and illustrations or just refreshes our memory. And sometimes you'll see those stories and details and based on other reading, you'll have a new way of applying it or understanding it.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, there's kind of multi-layered of reasons and helpfulness there. Yeah. Yeah, it's not like, well, you don't really have to read through the Bible. You just need to read a chapter a day devotionally. Now, I'm not saying that, okay? I'm not saying you never have to read through the Bible. But there's a priority and there's an emphasis of how you schedule your time. Any other? Okay, let's move on. I'm going to try and look at memorizing and studying, and then I'm going to spend some more time talking about some of the challenges. Elijah had a great question at the end of last lesson. I want to swing back around and build off his question towards the end of the lesson. Okay, memorizing. We can look at memorizing scripture like we can look at Bible reading. You know, a chapter a day keeps the devil away. Why do you memorize scripture? Because that's what good Christians do. Why do you memorize scripture? Because that's the way to spiritual maturity. But what I want to look at is why. Because if we don't get the why, the motivation drops. We want to see what exactly is memorization for. Why is it so important? Why is it so helpful? Let's go to Psalm 119 and verse 9. Psalm 119, and we're looking at verse 9, the second section in this psalm. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I love this. I wasn't even going to go here, but I just got to pause here. With my whole heart I seek you. How do we seek the Lord? Through his word. It's so clear. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart. There's that. This is speaking of memorization. It's like a camel that's stored up water, or a cistern that's holding something. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So, verse 11, I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What is the relationship to memorization and not sinning? John.
Basically, it imprints upon your very soul, upon your very being, so that you can recognize that deviation and not do it.
Okay, so you're exposing your word to the truth so that you're more aware of when you sin. Yes, great. So that's one important aspect of memorization. Thinking, anything else? There are other things. Andrew, there's some hesitation.
When you have the scripture in your mind, it's much harder to sin if it's right there in your mind.
Okay, so
you don't tune it out.
So not only it makes you aware of when or you're sinning or when you're going to be tempted, but it also is a preventative for being as quick to sin. Yeah, Michael.
I don't think like sometimes I know in my life I do, where I look at scripture, it's just like a medicine that kind of can taste bad, but you just got to stick it in so you're okay to fight against sin. But it's interesting to see how he says he's going to guard he's going to guard his word, which shows that it's a treasure. And then he talks about how he delights in it. So you see that not only does he want the scripture to be there because it does help, but it's beautiful too.
Okay. I agree with everything you said. My question was, why does memorization help you sin less? So can you...
Yeah, because, when you're memorizing it and you're actually treasuring it, it's better to you than sin. It looks better. You're like, why would I want this when I have this?
So not only do you know the truth, not only is the truth more present, not only are you engaging in your activity, and the truth of God is informing how you're viewing it, but it's also affecting your desires or tastes or appreciations. Right. Excellent. What else? What else does memorizing scripture? Yeah, Brenda.
It helps us to delight in the Lord. That's when we know the scriptures. Like, on a certain day, you can be doing something and you delight in it. And you're thinking of scripture and it helps focus on God and what it is. It's character.
Okay, so Brenda's saying as we memorize scripture, we have the ability to pull divine truth into the present situation without a Bible open, without a 3x5 card, without an iPhone. In the present situation, we can, as it were, pull truth from God and think on it, and as we think on it, delight our souls. We're fellowshipping with God through His Word, though we are not reading His Word, right? Meditating. How do you meditate on Scripture if the Bible's not open? Well, if you have the Scripture memorized, you can meditate on Scripture. And in fact, that's one of the great ways to meditate on Scripture is as you're memorizing. I used to, when I was swinging wrenches, I'd have often a 3x5 card in my back pocket as I was trying to memorize Scripture. And so I'd pull it out, and the next phrase I'm trying to remember. So I'm saying it over and over again, but as I'm trying to learn the Scripture, that phrase is just sitting in my mind. I was being diligently focused as I was fixing aircraft. This is not a safety concern. But in the back of my mind, you know, I'm reflecting on Scripture, right? And so the process of memorizing is even helpful to the meditation process. Absolutely. Now, anything else? Wise dial on that.
Oh, you have a lot of other things taken. It gives opportunity for the Holy Spirit to use the word either to convict you of sin, to give you an enlightenment of the word, to give you encouragement or blessing. The Holy Spirit uses the word in your life, and if it's in there, he can use it. If it's not there,
absolutely,
he cannot use it. And I think as Christians, we forget about the purpose and the presence of the opportunity of the Holy Spirit that lives.
Yeah. Let me just connect what Dale said and what Brenda said. We do not control the Spirit. We don't have this, like, Holy Spirit, be my power right now. Like, the Spirit doesn't work like that. So what we're inclined to do then is to think, well, we're just going to cruise through life and hopefully the Spirit kind of drops in and gives us a boost, right? But when we're meditating on Scripture, what we're doing is we're inviting the Spirit to be vitally and powerfully at work in us. So we can't control the working of the Spirit, but we sure can cultivate the environment for the Spirit to be working in greater ways. How many of you have prayed, Lord, help me today to not be discouraged? Or Lord, help me today to resist this temptation? So you're asking the Lord for help, but you haven't memorized Scripture. So you go into the day and like, where's the Lord? God, this day's gone terrible. But you can say, Lord, give me strength today. Strengthen me as I reflect on this verse I've remembered. And what does God do? Yeah, he does that. He's promised to do that. But so often we ask God to do things he's promised to do, but we don't avail ourselves of the means through which he will do it. Okay, Jen.
I just wanted to take that one step further in that our responses to others, if we have Scripture memorized, we have a much more biblical response to the way people treat us or the way, an example would be I had a mom from the swim team the other day who came to me to tell me they're getting a divorce. Well, my human nature is like, oh, well, what did you both do? I was able to respond in a much more biblical way to comfort her, and because I knew what God said about it, and it gives you a more practical way to not let your own words get in the way.
Yeah, so
you have God's words to come out instead of your own.
It moves from some folksy advice
right to
you being a mouthpiece for the truth of God. Because it's there. It's in your heart. It's in your mind. Wayne.
Scripture tells us to always be prepared to give an answer.
Yes.
And that would hold true in many cases. An opportunity to present the gospel to somebody, to defend truth when error is being spoken, and also to in protection.
Yeah. Great. Yep. Anything else? Andrew.
Christ used it with Satan. He just quoted Scripture back to him when he was tempted.
With potency, yeah. There's a great example. Christ didn't say, I think there's a verse in Isaiah somewhere. He was out. Like, it was with power. And so what is Christ doing? He's saying, you're saying this, but I'm living on the basis of the Word of God. That's what Christ was doing. Great, Andrew, thank you. Yeah.
It's like preventative because your mind's set on the Spirit, like, and disciplining your mind to memorize the Scripture, and your mind's not set on the flesh and enticing yourself with your own desires.
Absolutely. You're using your mind in productive, fruitful, spiritual ways. Yeah. Great. Look, Dale.
I'm sorry. Actually, what would you say to somebody who just says, I just can't memorize Scripture?
That's me. I think in this regard, Pastor Joe is very frustrating to me. I mean, he has an incredible memory. He can read stuff in his study, and he can get up in the pulpit, not have it in his notes, and almost remember verbatim a quote. Okay? Like, that's easy for him to memorize. Well, yes, but he does work at memorizing, okay, for a start. Now, it's harder for me to memorize. Well, I can give you the sense of the verse, and I might remember what book it's in. Okay, I'm working at it, but that's my natural human inclination. I just have to work harder. The fact is, can anyone remember well, this is not really good these days, but you can at least remember a few phone numbers, right? You know your birth date. You know how to navigate around the area. You know which drawer your clothes are in. You know how to tie your shoelaces. I mean, there's lots of stuff we remember. None of us can't memorize. The question is, how easily is it and how much work do we have to put into it? So some people might easily memorize a whole book of the Bible. And others might never memorize a whole book of the Bible. But everyone's working at memorizing Scripture. So I think that's the call. It's like, well, I don't read very well, so do I have to read the Bible? Well, maybe you can't read. So that's probably the greatest motivation to learn to read. But we all read. We read road signs, we read the newspaper or a magazine or stuff on the internet, or we read at work. We all read. The question is the issue of motivation and priority. And some of us, it's just harder. I get that, but we just have to work harder at it, yeah. So it's a challenge, and there are avenues to do that. There are techniques. Maybe you just haven't learned how to memorize well. Maybe there are some strategies you can employ. I'm using the Desiring God Fightiverse app. I have found that really helpful. That's been helpful for me to be more consistent and faithful. So since I've been using that, I'm doing a little better at scripture memorization now than I did, say, a year ago. It's a technique, it's a tool that's been helpful for me. So, yeah, that's how I'd answer that. So let me say this. God has very clearly said, whatever is not as faith is sin, right? Faith is an active, engaged confidence in what God has said, and it is an active, engaged, not just what God has said is true, but it's a banking on what He's promised, okay? Faith requires cognitive content. Truth must be in our minds. The promises of Scripture must be in our minds. That is the nature of the Christian life. So if our hearts are not filled with God's Word, how well can we live by faith? Not very well. This is not some icing on the top of the cake. If you've got some spare time and you've got a super good, duper, really good memory and your IQ is over 170, you know, go to it. But, you know, just for the average Christian person, you don't have to memorize. That's for the super people. Mm-mm. This is fundamentally important to spiritual maturity. Yes, Mark?
What you're talking about reminds me of Hebrews 11, and one talks about faith is the assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. I can't have assurance or conviction in things I don't know about.
Absolutely. You know, that matches with what we read in Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know, earlier on in earlier lessons, Ephesians 4, things like that. One other thing, sometimes if we're going through particularly deep trials, particularly penetrating suffering, or maybe particularly intense temptation, sometimes we go, I need a verse, and like, it's not there. Just the way our minds work. What is often there more than a verse reference is a song. Sometimes it's easier to get a song out of our minds when we're experiencing mental pressure than it is to extract a verse we've memorized. So along with the scripture memorization, I would encourage you to have songs, whether it's songs that are exactly the words of God or songs that are reflecting the words of God. Songs, I think, are an important part of helping us memorize and helping us meditate upon God's word, helping to set our minds on what is true, that we might be people who live by faith. Okay, memorizing, study. I'm distinguishing this. The nature of study is something different than reading, maybe survey reading. It is something different than meditating. Studying is not something that's less spiritual. Studying Scripture is not something that is less invigorating. Some people think, well, meditating on the Scripture is spiritually enriching. Studying is kind of dry academic. No, it's spiritually enriching as well, but it's a different kind of process. So the process of studying is when you're taking more time to devote your attention to more deeply understand the scriptures, whether it's a passage or a chapter or a book. You might do some word studies with a concordance or look at some cross-references in your study Bible. You might look in the back of your Bible where there's a brief concordance. You might read your study Bible in the introduction where it talks about the background and the author and the overview of the book. This is taking time that's not just reading the scripture, not meditating, but you're thinking in a more deeper way. We always study something. All of us have studied something. You might have studied the directions to a complex task. You've studied for school. We study for our jobs. Ladies, you might study a recipe. We all understand the basics of study. It's deeper reflection with some deeper questions you're seeking answers for, which allow you to engage in a task with greater ease or greater success. Okay? So, you might be thinking, okay, survey reading, read through the Bible in a year. That's, what, 6 chapters a day. Then there's 1 chapter devotional reading and study. How do you do all this? Okay? I'm not saying you should do it all at the same time. There are different seasons in life. Now, I'm not saying you don't have to study. It might look like this. Maybe once a month you spend an extra hour on a Saturday with the Word of God, you're doing a bit more deeper study. Maybe you go home on a Sunday afternoon, Pastor Joe says something, you think, that can't be right. I can't believe he said that. And so you go back to Scripture to prove him wrong, and he might have been wrong. I might be wrong. Or we're right, and you've learned something. Okay, so it might be like that. Or maybe there's a Bible study being offered. And so you spend 3 months meeting every week studying through a book of the Bible. You might do that once a year. You might do it all through the year. So I think there are different avenues to pursue. Maybe you have a particular question. What does God say about... Okay. How many children you should have? What does God say about who you should marry? Okay? That's a question. You have a particular question. So when you open the Bible, this is not devotional reading. This is not survey reading. You're going to the scripture with a particular question. You're studying scripture for an answer. Okay? So there are lots of different avenues. So I'm distinguishing study from meditating from survey reading. Okay? I'm hoping that's helpful. Any questions on all that so far? Let me say one more thing and then we'll look at challenges to fruitfully spending time in God's Word. Crossway have brought out this new Bible called the Gospel Transformation Bible. This is kind of a unique Bible. It's not really a study Bible. A study Bible primarily seeks to explain particular phrases or passages. It's more centered on what does this verse mean or what does this phrase mean. What the Gospel Transformation Bible is doing is it has sometimes fewer notes. So here's the Bible and there's this much, this many notes. So it's, an eighth maybe? The Psalms, it has more notes. But what these notes do is they draw you into the significance of the passage. They're not focused on particular nuances of meaning. They're wanting you to get a sense of the main point of the passage. How is this... How does this truth impact the way I live kind of questions? And so I think this could be a really helpful book for devotional reading, really helpful Bible, study Bible, okay? You read a chapter, you might read their summary of the chapter, and then you go back and read the chapter again, and now you're kind of sensing a bit more of the significance of that particular chapter. And I think it helps draw you in more quickly to what God is saying in that particular chapter. So I'd recommend that. There's one on the Book Nook at the moment, I think. And if it goes, I'll probably order some more. Okay, challenges to fruitfully spending time in God's Word. And I was thinking we could have 20 minutes of discussion. And it's not going to happen. Elijah asked an excellent question at the end of last week. What if it doesn't feel like your time in the Word is fruitful? Like, is it bearing fruit? Like, what if it doesn't feel spiritually engaging? You've read the Bible, you've prayed, and you kind of feel like you're kind of spiritually flatlined. Has anyone experienced that? Okay. You can, someone putting your hands up, someone nodding. Okay. What do you do with that? Well, Elijah made the comment that it's the fruit is there is still bearing long-term fruit. When you read Scripture, Scripture's going into your soul, it has an effect. God's promised that. But I want to ask the question, should we be satisfied with that? Now, there are some particularly difficult times in our spiritual lives where we just kind of feel spiritually dry. For some reason, God seems distant. And there can be lots of reasons for that. And I don't want to discount the reality of that. But the question is, what do we do with that? One of the things, as we're loving God and He seems distant, our souls hunger for intimacy with God. Sometimes He's distant because we want Him distant, because we want sin. Okay, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we want to know God, but He seems distant, and we're like, Lord, you seem distant, and I don't sense your nearness. I don't sense your encouragement. I don't sense fellowship with you when I read your word. We ought not to be satisfied with that, and as Christians, we're not. So there are numerous resources. One that I think is particularly helpful is a book by John Piper called When I Don't Desire God. Okay, the title is indicative of the question. Why? Why don't I desire God? And so he has a lot of helpful things in there to say. But at the very first, you might read Scripture, you get up in the morning, you're weary, you read a chapter, and you go, and then you feel guilty, because you just read God's Word, and it's boring, right? So we're going to ask this, what does it mean to fruitfully spend time in God's Word? That's the question I'm asking. Well, what does God accomplish? He teaches us, He reveals His glory, He reminds us of His faithfulness, etc., etc., etc. So here's the questions about fruitfulness. Are you more aware or thoughtful about God? Right? That's kind of a basic question. You read a chapter, it's boring. Okay, why is it boring? This is God's word. Did this chapter say anything about God in this chapter? It caused you to read it again. Is this prompting something? Is it prompting you to think in new ways about your own heart or about who God is or what He does? Kind of like the questions I gave you in the handout last week. That's what fruitful time is. Was this time fruitful? Am I refreshed to think on God's truth? Yes. Have I been prompted to pray in ways which reflect the truth I've learned? Am I thinking about God more than I was before I opened the Bible and started praying? I mean, there are some markers of fruitfulness, and it varies. Sometimes you read chapter like, wow, that is awesome. I'm ready to go into the day and do great things for the Lord. Okay, and other times it's not quite that intensity of an emotional response. But still, we can gauge what is some level of fruitfulness from our time in the Word. So what are some challenges? I want to ask you now, and we'll do as much as we have time with here. What are some challenges to regularly and fruitfully spending time in God's Word? You might be thinking of particular challenges in your own life. How do you deal with this issue? Or how do you deal when this happens? So do you have any questions that are like that? And if you don't, I've got some. John.
Sometimes a crisis that requires your time involvement, personal attention.
And you're saying, so that if I can kind of read what you're saying, the crisis demands complete attention and you can't spend any time in God's Word. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think there are sometimes, hospital is one of those examples, right? You have a child, they're sick, you head to the hospital, you spend days in the hospital, and it's difficult. Well, but that doesn't mean you can't meditate on Scripture, right? Because you've been memorizing Scripture. So is it possible to be in a hospital room without a Bible? They probably happens probably more now than it used to, right? Usually Gideon's Bible. I mean, so if we're spiritually engaged, we realize there is some danger, particularly in an intense time, of not spending time in God's Word. So I think we can always find a few minutes, 5 minutes or 10 minutes. I remember one of the things Pastor Joe said when we were in hospital with Henry. He said, do you want me to sit with Henry for a few minutes so you can both go outside and walk a little? Well, that was giving us freedom to get out of the situation and just spend some time quietly talking and praying together. So, you're intensely focused, and I know there's time where you're not just going to be opening the Bible, okay? But that shouldn't go for too long. See, one of the things we do, we get into an intense, stressful situation. We prioritize certain things. The stressful situation maybe is elongated. The longer we're in the stressful situation, the less good sleep we've had, the less time we've spent in God's Word. Do you think we might be more open to temptation of doubt and depression and frustration and anger? Yeah, we're actually in more intense times of temptation. And so I want to find that balance between being realistic about the nature of life, but also being realistic about the nature of our souls. And as people who are fleshly, we will use legitimate situations to make bad excuses for not spending time in God's Word. Okay, other questions? Great question, John. Brenda.
Mundane distractions is one of my biggest downfalls. I'll be sitting reading God's Word and my mind goes to the coffee maker or the bathroom that needs cleaning or something else.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, prayer can be one of the best things to remember all the things you've forgotten. Right? It's amazing. I do not understand that. I think part of it is just that the way our brain works. Okay, so what are some strategies? Have a piece of paper. If someone have someone else clean the bathroom, I like that too. Have a piece of paper and write those things down. This is important, written down, and it's laid aside. I'll get to it. I don't have to think about it or plan for it. Something else comes to mind. You write it down and put it aside. And you talk to God about it. Lord, here we go again. This is real. It's a responsibility. But this is a priority. Help me to focus on what's important now so that I can do those things that are important next. So there are some just little strategies you can do as well. And again, keep talking to the Lord. Engage with the Lord as you observe those things happening. Karen.
Praying or reading out loud instead of reading silently really helps.
Yes. Or standing up. Yep, absolutely.
Or kneeling down.
Or kneeling down. Kneeling down is bad for me. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be asleep quicker than anything if I kneel down to pray. It does not work for me. I mean, at a desk is dangerous, but kneeling down is just deadly.
Wooden floors and no leaning forward. That's a pain.
Maybe. I don't have a high degree.
Praying out loud,
yes.
And writing down and banging your head. Yeah.
Standing up works for me. If I'm really tired, standing up works for me. Okay, anything else? Great stuff. These are practical strategies, but they're real. We all experience these kind of things. Mike?
For me, it's sin. I feel dirty, so I don't want to go to the Word.
Okay, you've sinned, you feel bad, you feel dirty, and you feel unworthy to go to God's Word, right? I mean, that's just... Talk about the snowball effect for sin. Right? The thing that is most essential is repentance in God's Word. And so what do we do there? Lord, I'm an unworthy, rotten sinner. I've always been an unworthy, rotten sinner. And the only reason I have confidence is Christ. See, Christ needs to be at the forefront of your mind. And so you humbly go to God. Lord, one of the reasons I don't want to come to you is because I'm proud-hearted. I want to fix myself up and then say, Lord, look how good I am. Now will you listen to me? That's spiritually deadly. That could also tell you some of your attitude before you big-time sin as well. Yeah, so the gospel of Jesus Christ is one of those things most necessary for us to go to God's, to go to God, to seek Him for help. Let me raise one thing, and that is we're too tired. We often think of the self-discipline required is getting out of bed in the morning. But maybe just as much is the self-discipline that's required to plan and anticipate the need to get out of bed early. So that means the night before. The night before, how are you living? How late are you going to bed? What are you spending your time with before you go to bed? So the self-discipline that's necessary starts a long time before the alarm goes off. Okay? That's really critical. So I'm too tired. I think we've pretty much run out of time. I had something else I wanted to say, and it's gone. Tired, self-discipline, planning. I don't know. I might remember my next week. Thank you for your attention. We'll just stop there, and we'll continue on. If you have any questions, send me an email, because you're probably not the only one. So if you have questions you want to raise, and then next week I think we'll begin to look at the pattern of prayer. Okay, you're dismissed.
Here's a sad commentary.